scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Yes, it is an awful feeling, and that's why we are here. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. We're glad you could join us today, and we invite you to share your questions and comments by phone, text, or email. To call or text, join us at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or you can email me at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Not too long ago, I ran across an article that was published in Men's Health, actually on their website, menshealth.com, and it was titled, Seven Signs It's Time to Quit Your Job. So I want to kind of go through that real quick and then give you some additional thoughts about what this author said in his article here. Alex Gardner, by the way, is the gentleman who wrote the article here. Seven signs it's time to quit your job. Number one, your boss doesn't have your back. As Gardner goes on to write, it's been about a year, for example, and you're not any closer to your dreams. So you share your hopes about your future at the company and your long-term career plans. A supportive boss will reply, we want to help you progress and move to towards your goals. And then they'll back it up with actions that give you the chance to advance. Not following through is a deal breaker. And that's the point that Gardner's trying to make here with this first thing. Your boss doesn't have your back. If they're not willing to support you in your efforts to grow in the company, that may be a sign it's time to move on to greener pastures. Number two, literally anything sounds better than what you're doing. All right, when everybody's lousy gig sounds better than yours, more appealing than yours, it's probably time for a change. Some people reach that point when they'd rather be doing anything other than their current job. And that could be the case. If feeding the insects in the corner of the house is more appealing than what you're doing, that's probably a bad sign. Number three, you've been slacking off at work. Let's say you're usually a hard worker. You arrive early. You leave late, but lately you just have no motivation. You're even doubting whether what you do matters, and that does happen from time to time. Your work shows it, and when you start slacking, it could be a clue that you're simply not interested anymore in what you're doing. That may be a sign it's time to move on down life's highway and quit your current job. Number four, your skills are going to waste. Chances are you are a pro at something, but the skills you mastered may not be a part of your job. That's a problem. Lean towards your strengths, the author says. You'll be happier and more successful at work. If your current job responsibilities aren't your strong suits, there's probably a candidate out there who could do your job better, which means that you may not have a secure... Well, there's nothing, no such thing as security in the workforce anymore, but if you're not doing your job well because you're not properly aligned with the skill set that God gave you, then someone else can do your job better, which means your status in the company is a little shaky, a little on shaky ground. Next, your job isn't useful anymore. A career is more than simply the thing that puts bread on the table and feeds the kids. Your position can propel you to new success. But you may have outgrown a job that once helped you gain new knowledge, develop new skills, or offer new experiences. Is your current job prepping you for the future, or are you now kind of in a plateau? That may be another sign that it's time to move on. Next, you're bored. Really, really bored. All right. Many people think that you either like or hate your job, the author goes on to say, but you don't have to be in love with your work for it to be a good fit. And that's true. You don't have to be in love. It certainly is a lot more fun if you're in love, but you don't have to be in love with your job for it to be a good fit. You can be satisfied toiling somewhere you find kind of boring and that doesn't challenge you if it affords you the opportunity to do other things that matter. Maybe your humdrum job is lucrative and gives you the funds to travel, retire early, live comfortably. Or your 9-to-5 job allows you extra time in the evening to volunteer, spend time with your family, or play in a band with your friends. If your work is boring with no benefits, however, sticking around isn't worth it. And then lastly, number seven, you're less than 70% satisfied. Things will never be perfect, but it's crucial to have more positives than negatives and on your pros and cons list when it comes to your job. Write down all the qualities your ideal job would have, and then ask questions like, do I want to work on my own or in a team? Do I want to work on a big strategic assignment or on the small stuff? Very few people have jobs that give them 90% of what they want, but if your current gig has 70 to 80% of the crucial qualities, you're in a pretty solid place. But if you're only checking off half of the things you want, it's probably time to quit your job or at least think about it and prepare for the next stage in your life. Now, that's a good little article. Again, Alex Gardner, Men's Health, 7 Signs It's Time to Quit Your Job. But, you know, after reading that and reading other articles similar to that, this begs the question. So many people are in a job like these jobs where one or more of these 7 things are in play, and they're miserable, they don't like what they're doing, yet they stay put there for years and years and years, sometimes lifetimes. And the question is, why? Why do they stay? Why do they not quit their jobs and move on to something better? Well, there's 3 reasons I want to talk about. There's more than 3, but the 3 I want to focus on right now are fear, doubt, and lack of faith. Now, when we talk about fear, doubt, and lack of faith as the reasons why people don't quit their jobs when it's obvious they should, I want to look at it from 2 different perspectives. We're going to look at it from a non-Christian source, and we're going to look at it from a Christian source. Or from a Christian perspective. So to kind of look at it from a non-Christian source, what I want to do is play you a clip from the 2005 commencement address at Stanford University. And this is a commencement address that the late Steve Jobs, founder of Apple, founder of Pixar Animation, who first, you know, all Toy Story and, you know, movies like that, animated movies like that, he spoke in 2005, and this is what he had to say about this topic.
When I was 17, I read a quote that went something like, "If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right." It made an impression on me, and since then, for the past 33 years, I've looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I am about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart.
I mean, profoundly put, succinctly put, and a fantastic perspective. I mean, you're already naked. You're going to die. So why in the world are you going to be doing something that's not what you're supposed to be doing? And in that clip, Jobs did address with different terminology the same things I just mentioned are the 3 big reasons I want to address today. About why people don't quit their jobs when they should. Fear, doubt, and lack of faith. He actually used the terminology external expectation or something that referred to external expectation. Pride and fear of embarrassment or failure. So let's deal with those in order. Let's start with external expectation. Probably the biggest deception or external expectation regarding work in our society is this. The belief that a higher income, more money can bring happiness. That's probably the biggest one I've encountered and I know of. Many adults have jobs and are making adequate money, yet they're not fulfilled. And this is just reality. Many say, without hesitation, that they pursued their present careers because those careers offered prestige and high incomes. Now, they see the mistake many times in making decisions based on, primarily on income when they get a little bit older in life, and they learn that money does not provide satisfaction. I just wish we could figure that out when we're a little bit younger than when we're a little bit older. We hear about movie stars, athletes, other high-income celebrities who say the same thing. And to kind of give you an example of that, let me give you a quote from a guy named Christopher Parkening. I can never say his name right. Parkening. And many people have not heard of him, and I had not when I read this clip from a magazine that Campus Crusade for Christ puts out called Worldwide Challenge. And Parkening is a prominent, preeminent virtuoso of the classical guitar. Very accomplished musician, and this is what he said in his interview with Worldwide Challenge. Quote, "The world tells you that success is having a lot of money. being famous and being independent. Doing what you want to do when you want to do it. For years, I pursued success in the music field to the point that I was able to retire to a Montana ranch at age 30. My wife and I were living what most would consider the ideal life, but a year after I got everything I wanted, it meant absolutely nothing. I was empty inside. During that period of time, I became a Christian and my priorities changed. When I came across the passage in 1 Corinthians that says, "Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God," I realized there were only two things I knew how to do. One was fly fish, the other was play the guitar. I went back to playing the guitar, but this time with a different purpose. As Bach once said, "The aim and final reason of all music is none else but the glory of God." And to kind of back up that sentiment, Ephesians 5:10 reads this way in the Amplified version of the Bible, He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with gain. This also is vanity, emptiness, falsity, and futility." Let's talk about pride. A second problem here that was mentioned by Jobs in his clip was pride. We're so concerned with what the world might think or say if we happen to get into something that is not a quote-unquote successful job or a quote-unquote good position. We're ashamed to do what God has created us to do. We then burn ourselves out trying to do jobs we were not naturally designed to do. And you can call it going against the grain, not following your bent, or swimming upstream, but the bottom line is that it's impossible to be excellent for very long when you're not using the talents and strengths God has given you. Many people are in the wrong jobs because of their parents' pride. As young people, they're pushed into career fields. So they could be somebody, quote-unquote, or a quote-unquote amount to something. But to put it plainly, we parents often want to fulfill our worldly dreams, our egos, through our children. Jesus tried to point out to the Pharisees that they were, you know, concerned with impressing men with their outward appearances. But Jesus was more concerned with what was inside, the motivations of the heart. And you'll recall that, you know, his main problem with the Pharisees was that they were hypocrites because of this. The Lord made this concept clear to Samuel when he chose to anoint David rather than one of his handsome brothers. He reminded Samuel that the Lord looks at the heart. All right, we're going to pick up with our third example of why people don't want to quit their jobs, why they're fearful to do so, and it's called fear of embarrassment or failure. And we'll deal with that topic and talk more about the Steve Jobs clip when we get back from the break. Stay tuned. Don't go away.
Last time on the Steve Dace Show.
There's no reason to assume he's innocent just because he's a Republican you like. He's a human being just like everybody else. And what concerns me is when we put these people on such huge pedestals, whether it's at Penn State or in a political party, that we just cease all critical thinking. And that's how you lose your integrity, your credibility. It's how you lose your country.
Want your country back? Tune in to the Steve Dace Show.
Weekday evenings at 9 on Christian Talk 92.9 FM.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries, through its Career Direct Assessment, has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover and let us help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called you to do. Again, that's careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
At Just Right Auto Repair, we're different and proud of it. What makes us different? We care about you. We want to get to know you. We call you by your first name. We want to educate you on your second largest investment, your car. Here at Just Right Auto Repair, we truly care about being different. Come in today and experience the Just Right Auto difference. Call us at 242-1961. That's 242-1961. Call Just Right Auto Repair today or check us out on the web at justrightautoinc.com.
8-year-old Anna Esmeralda was at death's door from severe malnutrition. Springing into action, Dr. Laura Luke and the hospital staff in Guatemala treated their tiny patient with God's love. And over the next 6 weeks, Anna regained her smile, her energy, and her life. Dr. Laura Luke, her husband Mike, and their five daughters left the comforts of Spartanburg, South Carolina to win souls, like little Anna's, for God through medical missions. To learn more about, pray for, or financially support the Lukes, visit hopebound.org. That's hopebound.org.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break. This is Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser. Career Callings, our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has created you to do. We're glad you could join us after the break here, and we invite you to share your questions and comments by phone, text, or email. To call or text, join us at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or you can reach me by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E. At careercallings.net. Before the break, we played a clip from the 2005 commencement address of Steve Jobs at Stanford University. And in that clip, he talked about, he urged the graduates there to follow their passion, move forward in the direction that they are instinctively designed to go. And during that conversation, he mentioned that there are three reasons why people don't pursue their calling. Number one, would be a pride, and then we had worried about what other people think. That would be classified as external expectation. The third one, we're going to talk about now, is fear of embarrassment or failure, or another way of putting it is lack of trust or faith. So a third problem that gets us off course in our pursuit of a rewarding career pathway is lack of real faith. Or if I were to say it another way, deep down, we really don't trust that God is sufficient for all of our needs. That's what it boils down to. We're driven to achieve success so we can, you know, eventually gain control of our circumstances and be, quote-unquote, independent from the problems of life. But this reflects a fundamental error in our thinking. There is no such thing as security. Just ask some of the people that have lived through the last 5 or 6 years of economic turmoil, people who had spent a lifetime saving and feeling in control, all of a sudden losing all of their retirement or losing their jobs, things that they thought that they would never lose, just evaporated in thin air. Witness the high-ranking executives, famous people who become alcoholics or commit suicide each year despite their monetary success or career success. There are no guarantees in this life aside from the promises of God's Word, which have been sealed throughout the unconditional love of Christ and the gift of His Holy Spirit. We have to walk each and every day in faith, depending on Him for every breath. And the Apostle Paul goes on to great lengths to point this out when he says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. See, the problem is that most of us really don't trust God to be involved personally in our lives. We say we do with our mouths, but we don't act like it with our hearts and minds. We miss out on His perfect plan because we really don't trust Him in His promises. So if we're not able to control the future through achievement, what do we have to do? We have two options. Basically, we can wrap ourselves in a cloak of despair, or we can trust in a personal God who loves us and wants His very best for us. And really, the choice is clear. But it can only be made in faith, and that means returning control of your life to the author of life. You have to realize you don't have control. Even in your career decisions, yeah, you have some modicum of control. But if you really want to pursue God's calling for your life, you have to understand you got to go where He says go, even if it doesn't make sense to your mind or your heart. But eventually, it will. If you obey, if you take the steps He wants you to take, it'll make sense. I got a friend, a fellow named, I won't say his name, but I got a friend that is been a big influence on me over the years. And years ago, he was at a crossroads in his his life and his career. He had an opportunity to leave a career that he didn't much care for to start one he thought would be great for his family. The problem was that the job he was going to leave had a pretty steady salary with benefits, and the job he was going to was commission-based and had no guarantees whatsoever, and he had never been in sales before. The only way he could feed his family is to sell, sell, sell. But with no background in that business, no track record to prove that he could do it, you know, it was a pretty big scare factor there. He prayed long and hard for God to show him what he should do, and after a time, he felt the Lord wanted him to take the plunge. Trusting God alone for the increase, my friend stepped onto God's bridge of faith, and now, roughly 20 years after that decision, he is one of the most successful people in this market in the business that he felt led to go into. So by taking that step of faith, he and his family have prospered. Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is called by many the Hall of Fame of Faith, and it could be just as easily called the Hall of Fame of Risk. A lot of times we need to remember, not a lot of times, all the time, we need to remember taking steps of faith means we accept risk. We embrace risk because we're letting go of what we think is control. And when you consider the lives of the people listed in Hebrews 11, you cannot help but see risk surrounding their decisions. I mean, what sense did it make for Noah to build an ark when no one had ever seen rain? Hello? No one had ever seen rain, but Noah builds a boat for 120 years. So people are laughing at him and making fun of him for 120 years. What's up with that? What sense did it make at age 75 for Abraham to leave his home with no clue where he was going? You go back and read the story of Abraham. He didn't know where he was going. Why in the world would Moses reject his comfortable, wealthy position as a prince of Egypt to lead a bunch of Hebrew slaves out into the wilderness? Why? Well, the answer is because they had faith in the God of heaven and they were willing to step onto God's bridge of faith despite the risks inherent with such steps. Trusting in God's promises and in His character requires faith, and exercising faith requires embracing risk. And if you don't know for sure whether God is asking you to take a certain step of faith, then don't take it. But when God makes it clear, and when it's time for you, for example, to quit your job, which is what we started this entire program off with, the idea of seven signs it's time for you to quit your job, when it's time to quit your job, according to God's timing, He will make it clear, and He will make clear what the next step is supposed to be. And He wants you to stop trusting in what you can see and start trusting in what He can see. That's the ticket. That's the kicker. That's the hardest part. By trusting God and embracing the risk, you'll have access to a host of blessings that only faith and risk can unlock. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says this in the Amplified Bible Version. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to our senses, what we cannot see. That's a beautiful rendition of that verse. All right, let's just say that you've gotten over the hump, and the fear and the doubt and the worry about what other people are going to think, and you feel the Lord leading you to quit your job, and you feel like it's time to make a move. How do you go about doing that? What's the practical side of that? How do you go about doing that without burning bridges? As a matter of fact, I have an article here that talks about that specifically. It's called How to Quit Your Job Without Burning Bridges. It was published in the Harvard Business Review. You can find it online, written by a lady named Rebecca Knight, and it was published earlier this, late last year in 2014. And here are the ways that she suggests you can quit your job without burning bridges. Consideration number one is this: the average worker today stays at a job for 4.6 years, and that's according to the most recent data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And she goes on to write, the bookends of your career, how you start your career and how you end it, or I should say how you start your job and how you end it, are the most important parts of any professional relationship. The trouble is that people tend to spend a lot of time preparing for and strategizing about their first impressions, but rarely give much thought to their exit impressions, how they're leaving their relationships when they leave them. Quitting your job for any reason requires sensitivity and planning so that you don't burn bridges. So here's the first recommendation on quitting your job without burning bridges. Number one, be flexible. Make sure that you give at least 2 weeks' notice. That is still the common rule of thumb. Give your boss at least 2 weeks' notice, but You know, nothing wrong with giving longer than that. If you have a situation or a position where it's going to take time to find your replacement or take time to train that replacement, then be willing to give as much time as reasonable. That could be 2 months. That could be a month. That could be 3 months. In some weird cases, it could be 6 months, depending on what you're doing. Although normally 3 months is the average length of time, which would be kind of on the far end. Then tell your boss first. Let your boss know about it. First, don't tell your coworkers and then have it kind of work its way through the grapevine back to your boss. Be courteous of your boss and tell them first. Next, be transparent. Kind of take the long view. Let them know where you're going. Tell them where you're going so that it's not a secret. And they'll be appreciative of your transparency. Don't gossip is next. Don't gossip. Tell the same story to everybody, whether it's your coworkers or your boss. Don't tell your boss one reason why you're leaving and your coworker something else. It'll eventually give back and make people mad. Be strategic about your timing when you leave. Don't leave your boss in a pickle. If it's the busiest time of the year for your particular job, it'd be kind of unnice, if I can say it that way, to bail out on them when they need you the most. Be sure to express gratitude when you leave. Regardless of whether or not you're happy or sad about leaving your job, just be thankful for the opportunity to work there to begin with, and they will respond to that. And beware of the exit interview. Don't give too much information in the exit interview about why you're leaving and how horrible your job is. Don't vent. Just be courteous and kind there. All right, as we approach the end of the program, I want to share another clip from the Steve Jobs Stanford commencement address in 2005. He says something pretty profound that I want to react to before we close the program. So here you go, Steve Jobs.
Sometimes life's going to hit you in the head with a brick. Don't lose faith. I'm convinced that the only thing that kept me going was that I loved what I did. You've got to find what you love. Your work is going to fill a large part of your life, and the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking and don't settle. As with all matters of the heart, you'll know when you find it. And like any great relationship, it just gets better and better as the years roll on. So keep looking. Don't settle.
That's fantastic advice. I don't care. You know, even though Jobs never professed Christianity, never professed being a Christian, I mean, that's just right in line with God's design for our lives. I mean, he made us with a certain set of skills, abilities, desires, passions, strengths, weaknesses. And, you know, there are so many different types of jobs that will fit that pattern of work. But the goal is to fit that pattern of work and to seek out God's will for our lives in that regard. All right, thanks for joining us today for today's show. If you'd like to get a copy of today's show, feel free to visit careercallings.net/radio. That's careercallings.net/radio for a free podcast. How did God design you to bring value to the world? Well, that's a question only you and the Holy Spirit can answer. And if you don't know the answer, it's time to start looking for it.